Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. Happy Resurrection Sunday, Sunday, It is a great day, and this morning we had an incredible time at Memorial Hall. Three different church families came together, one church, Impact Life Church, and The Light, and we had a collaborative service.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's killer, man. How many years have you guys been doing that? I know it's happened more than once.
We've done it every year, 6-7 years.
Wow. So. I hear about other cities doing that, but man, I love Joplin for that. The unity thing is increasing in momentum, and you know, people's walls and insecurities about doing things together are coming down, and it's so cool to see people not competing for kingdom stuff and instead collaborating. So good.
The unity is strong with this one.
Talking about collective, this Saturday, we're bringing in Stephen Duncan, formerly the creative manager for Centricity Music. And he's coming in. We're doing a workshop all day Saturday, the Songwriters Collective. And I'm so excited that it's coming back. It's been a couple of years since we've done a songwriting event.
Yeah. Well, Stephen is responsible for a lot of the songs and voices that you know and love. Okay. He's been involved with a lot of really great artists and worship leaders. I think maybe the most popular one right now is Lauren Daigle. Mm-hmm. He actually signed Lauren Daigle, taught her how to songwrite. And now here she is. I mean, she's been on Good Morning America and maybe the Today Show. I mean, like all these open doors and avenues, and the girl's heart is solid gold. And that's what we love to see in the worship realm and in the creativity realm. That creativity and the worship thing comes together with commerce and produces something that's still gold. Love that story about Lauren Daigle, but he's really responsible for bringing her through the ranks and so many others. And he's very good at bringing people together for the sake of creativity and songwriting. Such an honor to have him with us.
If you are a songwriter or an aspiring songwriter, you still have time to register. It's just $10. That covers your lunch and the workshop materials. You can do that at nextgenworship.com. We have a registration right there on the front page. So,
and I might just add that these things are a little intimidating to come and know that I'm going to have to sit down with somebody else and write a song with them. But I want to encourage you that we're making this as comfortable as we can. There's no superstars involved here. We're all just coming in, kind of exposing our hearts and saying, what can we do together? We would love to see if you've never written a song, but you want to write, come. If you're a songwriter with published works, we would love to have your involvement and input. Come. Love to see some young people out there, high schoolers, teenagers, want to get into songwriting, come. We want to get you plugged in. We want to get the momentum going for songwriting in our region.
And just for the record, we have a disdain for competition, and we really want to champion collaboration. So we want everyone involved and contributing to the end result.
Yeah. So, building family.
That's what we're going to be diving into next week. Keys to collaboration, and we'll be sitting down with Phil Rice. He's doing some really cool stuff in Oklahoma, and we are going to be talking to him about that topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of Astonished by Abundance, and we sat down with Brett of Stone. They'll be talking with us a little bit later in the show, so stick around. It's going to be awesome. Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to be talking about the keys to collaboration, some practical application as to how you can collaborate with others and really grow in relationship and community. And we're going to be talking with Phil Rice from Ember HQ. Really cool prayer room. And tell us a little bit about what they're doing down there.
I love the tagline of Ember HQ. It's a prayer and creative company. That's so fresh and fun.
Cool.
But they are really kingdom-minded people. They're building community. They're very much focused on worship, the prophetic, and prayer. And they're advancing kingdom in their own region of the United States down by Oklahoma City.
So we'll be talking with them next week, doing our own collaboration this Saturday. Just a reminder, Songwriters Collective. So if you're in the Joplin vicinity and you would like to come to that, Stephen Duncan will be with us and really giving us some great tools. And we're going to be building family and writing some songs.
That's
so
right.
If you want to be a part of that, it's just $10 to cover your lunch and some of the material that we're going to need there. And so you're not going to find a deal like that.
It's worth $300, folks.
Oh my
we're
goodness.
Asking for 10. Come on.
Exactly. So you can get registered at nextgenworship.com. We've got a button right there for you to register. So today we are talking about an incredible subject matter. Something Jesus was all about was his giving us back everything and more, right?
Yeah.
Astonished by abundance. And a little later in the show, some guys that have experienced this firsthand, Bread of Stone, and I think we all have.
Let's share
some stories about how we've experienced the abundance of God.
Right. So to set this up a little bit, we were just talking about this and, you know, our hearts kept blowing up about it. And we're like, man, let's hit record. But we see Jesus drawing these parallels between the riches of the world and the riches of the kingdom. And I made this statement that kind of shocked me a little bit, that in order to see the riches of the kingdom, you have to have a heart for the king. And this thing that we're stewarding is not necessarily a tangible thing that you can hold out and say, look, here is something that is priceless treasure.
Because $1 million.
The world does that, right? There's things that the world categorizes as priceless.
You love me. You really love me.
Yeah, exactly. And the worth system is set up according to the world. But when you begin to have this thing happen in our life, it's called an awakening, where we start to have our value system completely rearranged. And now we start to value these things, these riches of the kingdom, the riches of heaven the Bible talks about. And when we start to begin to possess these things, they somehow start to change the world. The value that heaven has placed on these things that we have gotten as our inheritance are now trumping the values of the things of this world. And so that's astonishing.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love about community, because all of a sudden we're surrounding ourselves with people that have the same value system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an unseen world. It's an unseen king that becomes more real than the kings and the things of the world that we find ourselves living in reality. It's a new reality that surpasses and supplants a reality that we've been living our whole life. So I thought it would be awesome to bring up this subject, to get a mental shift, to get a value shift, to awaken the thing in you to where you can all of a sudden see and start valuing the things of heaven more than the things of this world. Haley, you've got a great story that just happened recently about this.
So a few weeks ago, we talked about this, but let's revisit it. We were at a home group and we got a prophetic word from a teenager that basically pinpointed some things that I had been asking the Lord for. And he said to me that God wants you to know those things that you've been praying for. He pinpointed them. He told me what they were. He said he's going to do them. So stop praying for them and start praying for this other thing, which was what we codenamed the cheesy goodness of God. And I mean, when we say cheesy goodness, we're talking about like you know, the gravy,
the overflow,
that the stuff in the lasagna that makes it, you know, your toes curl. So that's the cheesy goodness of God. And some of it was things. It was provision. It was financial abundance.
Well,
and some of it was spiritual, like the spiritual cheesy goodness of God.
Well, let's be specific. I mean, we were asking for, like, you know, groceries. We're asking for our mortgage to be paid off.
Yeah.
And mortgages of people in our team. And he's like, stop praying for that. I got that covered.
Yeah.
So that's already like the bars up there when you talk about mortgage. And then he's like, I got that covered. What I want you to believe for is this abundant overflow.
Yeah. I mean, he said that what he saw was a FedEx truck pulling into our house full of equipment and resources that we need. And I mean, I took him at his word. I quit praying for, you know, what I had been praying for and started speaking over our family, our team, the people that are connected to us in our community, and even some businesses that are connected to us. Just this overflow, cheesy goodness, abundance of God to hit them.
And what happened to your stress level when you shifted?
Actually, very interesting. It decreased.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the FedEx truck to pull up, you know, right, if that's a literal thing. But I have definitely since then been experiencing the cheesy goodness of God spiritually. And I'm going to tell part of this story. At the last Unite worship gathering, I had a conversation with a friend where I got delivered of what I'm going to call a covenant with grief that I had made as a child. And that has been sort of an underlying thing in my entire life, that I can't experience joy. And I tell you what, like, that was the cheesy goodness of God. It wasn't even on my radar. It just, boom, it happened. We had a conversation. God exposed something, put his finger on it, and it left. And I have experienced so much joy, and almost like hope began to blossom in me about things that I don't even know. I'm just happy and I'm hopeful. It's just this, and like this immense love, like rolling out from heaven.
It's totally apparent too. I mean, you can see it.
With a little bit of like Hulk, I want to explode things as well.
Exactly. It's a violent joy. Yeah.
A violent joy.
Yeah. What I love about beginning to understand the currency of heaven, I guess is what you could call it too, this abundant living, is there are kind of two processes going on at the same time. We are changing from the inside out. At the same time, we are changing our culture around us.
Yeah.
And I think they work hand in hand. Yeah. So much the church, I believe, has been focused on this personal transformation of behavior modification, of thinking differently, of kind of willing our way into a good Christian person, instead of beginning to operate in what the Holy Spirit is leading you in, right where you are, right where you are in the process, no matter, you know, where you are in the process. If you begin to walk in spiritual things, all the behavior stuff begins to take care of itself.
Yeah.
We see that happening. But also, we begin to change. We begin to become more like Jesus. We begin to operate more like him, talk more like him, because we're doing the thing. We're actually walking in the thing. You know, the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't satisfy the lust of the flesh.
Right.
So when that is prevented, change is inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's like you're walking down this path, and like you said, no matter where you are in your process, you could be on like a path going the absolute wrong direction. And wherever you're at, if you just stop and turn your face towards the Lord, that he meets you there with abundant provision spiritually to transform.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note this too. And we see this played out in scripture many times with Jesus and Paul, especially. But there is this initial step, and this initial step is giving your life away. I think we've heard a lot of teaching through the 70s, 80s, 90s, late 70s maybe, the Word of Faith movement, and we actually were a part of a church involved in that, where there is a big emphasis on getting your needs met, and that's not wrong. That's just part of the story, though. The greater narrative is that Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to notice that we have surrendered our life for the sake of the one that came before us, for the sake of his heart agenda, for the sake of his purpose. Mm. And that's Jesus. We have surrendered. And that is the most powerful thing that's ever happened to me is that surrender. And you brought up the word rest.
Yeah.
And I think this all plays a part. You know, I see people striving and they want to advance the kingdom. They want to do God things. But you're like, bro, you have got to relinquish control of your life.
Yes.
And man, I know when this really hit, I mean, it happened when I was saved. I got saved out of rock band, playing gigs, you know, the whole lifestyle. Man, there was a surrender in there. But then a new surrender happened about 6 or 8 years ago when I began to see my daddy for who he really is. And it's like I got saved all over again. I entered a rest and a relinquishment of control, and the grace and a favor entered my life that I did not know even existed. And I think that's kind of where we're going with this. We're going after an exchange, my life, for inexhaustible kingdom riches. That's not only just for me, but it's here for the sake of the agenda of changing the world.
It's real abundance. And I just want to go back and revisit something you said that is in contradiction with earthly thinking. You said, I surrendered, and that's the most powerful thing that I've ever experienced. Mm. Surrender and power don't seem to go hand in hand. Right?
Yeah.
But Jesus said, I have the authority to lay down my life when I want to lay it down and take it back up when I want to take it back up. And whenever we rest in him and we learn of him, we have authority to lay down our lives. It's not this abandonment and go, well, whatever happens, I'm just giving up, God. It's all you, Lord. It's all less of me and more of you.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the attempt that people make is like, oh, I'm just giving up. I'm surrendering to you, Lord. And whatever happens, happens. No, it's this authority that he's given us that we can decide. I'm laying down my life. I'm making a decision to lay down my life in this situation to benefit someone else.
Yeah.
And so when we do that intentionally with authority, it is powerful.
It is so powerful.
It's powerful. We'll dive into this a little bit more. I'll tell you, it's kind of a cool story. Bread of Stone, they came through town last month. They've got an incredible story.
They do.
So, Astonished by Abundance, a little bit more on that with Bread of Stone when we come back. We asked local worship leaders to try Core Sound pads and tell us what they think.
So I started using pads probably about 3 years ago, mainly because on a Wednesday night when you didn't have an entire worship team, it was pretty thin, so I started using those on the recommendation of Clint and come across the Core Sound pads. I figured pad's a pad, but it's really not. These pads are so much more than just someone sitting on a sustain pedal with a keyboard pad playing in the background. It fills the space so much more depth and dimension, and if you have the right pad player, it'll actually do the transition from one key to another, and that's one of the main reasons I like it. I am Will Brown, worship pastor at Promised Land Fellowship in Granby, Missouri.
Go to Core, C-O-R-E, CoreSoundPads.com to learn more. Try free samples and get going with pads today. Enter promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're sitting down with Phil Rice with Ember HQ in the Oklahoma City area, talking to him about the prayer room that they've established there and the great things that God is doing in their own region. Today, we've been talking about being astonished by God's abundance, and somebody who has experienced this firsthand, it surprises them so much that they don't even know where to go from here. They already have more than they can handle. And that is the band Bread of Stone. So we get to sit down with them today and hear their story.
Ben and Jason, thank you so much for sitting down with us to have a chat.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, excited to be here.
So your band is Bread of Stone.
Yes.
We want to get to know you. Tell us about Bread of Stone, who you guys are, and what you're doing.
Well, let's start from the very beginning. It started in 2004, but the whole reason why it started is because we were sitting down as a family. It was my brother and I, my brother who's in the band as well, Bill. My dad said to us, the Lord spoke to me to tell you guys to start a music ministry. We didn't know anything about music. We never played an instrument. We never sang before. Our family is not musical at all. So it's very strange that the Lord would call us to do this. And we trusted in what our dad said. We trusted in the Lord and said, okay, if this is what the Lord has for us, then let's do this. And so we started taking piano lessons, guitar lessons, and then eventually vocal lessons. It took about 4 or more years until we're like, okay, I think we're ready. What should we do now? So that's when we started recording our first album. We did everything by ourselves. We came from small town, Sioux City, Iowa, in the middle of nowhere. But it is the mecca of all Christian music. I don't know if you guys know this.
I did not know that.
Yeah, a lot of worship leaders are, you know, bred from Sioux City, Iowa. So
it's really the best kept secret, I'd say.
Yeah. So needless to say, there was not a lot of support anywhere. There's not a lot of, you know, for us to be able to grow. But the Lord, and this is one thing that our dad always instilled in us, is the Holy Spirit is the teacher of all things. And when he said all things, he didn't only specify all spiritual things. He said all things. And so we believe that with all our heart. And when we went forward with the ministry, Bread of Stone, we said, you know, this is something that we want God to be glorified in, not just in what we sing about or what we talk about, but by the sheer being of our existence, that God is glorified through this, because it is not possible. It is not possible for a band that doesn't know anything about music, did not come up from a musical family from Sioux City, Iowa, to be able to do this full time since 2004 until now. You know what I'm saying? This is definitely a God thing. And so that is where Bread of Stone is birthed out of. And the name Bread of Stone is the fact that we are stones, useless, incapable, but only through Christ that he's able to transform us to become bread, to feed the hunger in this world, to be a blessing. So it's not because we're amazing at what we do, but rather what Christ is doing and has done in our life to become a blessing.
Yeah, love that. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now. You're touring right now, I guess. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're just wrapping up. We're on the Kingdom Youth Conference for the past 5 weeks or so. We started that last fall. Brand new conference. It's super awesome. It is really real. Yeah. I mean, the kids and the whole ministry, everyone pours in. We do a lot of conferences, and this is unlike any conference we've ever been a part of. You know, they're really just pouring into the kids, and you see the Spirit moving in their lives, and it's life-changing, not only for them, but for us. And it's been a tremendous blessing to be a part of that. It's just starting out, so it's still growing and has a lot of room to grow, but couldn't be more happier to be a part of it, you know, and it's been a tremendous blessing. So we've been out doing that for the past 5 weeks, and then we just wrapped up our last one, and then we go off to Wisconsin. We'll be going up until beginning of April, have a month break, and we'll gear up for the summer and be out June through September, summer festivals, and pick back up with Kingdom Conference in the fall.
Man, how many shows are you guys doing a year?
It varies, but
typically we've done anywhere from like 100 to 200 shows.
Wow.
Depending
on that's booking it. Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, take us behind the scenes a little bit. We want to hear the heart behind what you're doing. I loved hearing the little bit of your story, and we just listened to you in soundcheck singing about that song.
Afraid No More.
I don't know. Is that on a recent album?
It is on our latest album, first track on the album called Hold the Light. And the whole premise behind the record coming out, my brother and I, we come from Indonesia. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. Mm. And growing up there, my parents both had a ministry that they traveled all around Indonesia spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and being that light. Wow. But the reason why we moved here is because the Lord told us to leave the country, to flee. And in 1996, there was the overthrow of the government. My dad's descendant is Chinese and we're Christians. And so in Indonesia, there was a lot of persecution for the Chinese and Christians as well. And so during that time, during the unrest, a lot of the ministry people who are Christians were being persecuted, killed. And so when this project came about, we said, you know what? No matter what the circumstance in life is, we are not to be afraid to carry this light. Because a lot of times, and even it might not even be persecution, it might be just like the sheer fact that I don't really want to talk about the Lord in front of these people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things. And this is an everyday occurrence that we have to realize that what we can see with our eyes, what we hear, what we put into it, these are just things that do not last at all. But the things that are of the Spirit, those are the things that's real. And we have to put that in our mind that the kingdom of God is not based upon our election. It's not based upon what we can fathom here. But rather, the kingdom of God is of power and authority from God above. And that's the kingdom that we live in. That's the kingdom that we're a part of. And so we're no longer bound and limited to what the rules are set by man and the laws of this world. But we are set free in Jesus Christ. And we're no longer afraid. So when we go out there, whether they threaten us with, you know, like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this to you, it shouldn't affect us at all because we're no longer a part of this world. So if they kill this body, it's like, great, I get to see my maker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that is the theme of the song, is being able to hold a light no matter what the circumstances and hold that light.
Oh man, it definitely speaks a lot into my life, going through different things coming up, getting married and stuff. That fear would be, you know, whether it's spreading the gospel or fear of like, hey, now being a leader, but knowing that, hey, it's not me, that I need to leave that to the Lord because I'm incapable of leading a wife, leading a family. I'm incapable of doing what we do, ministering, whether it's through music or speaking to others. It's only the Lord through me transforming us and becoming that blessing to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a constant reminder to me when we play it, you know, it's like, hey, not for it to be a prayer anymore. Like, hey, I don't want to be afraid or I don't want to fear. It's now a proclamation. It's like, hey, I'm not afraid anymore. You know, so Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will go. And that's how I got in with these guys. It was like, you know, I felt in my heart I was going to be with these guys. They didn't even know me yet. And, you know, I just felt like, hey, I'm going to end up going out there. And, you know, it turned from going from Ohio out to Iowa, and I never pictured leaving my family, but this is always what I wanted to do. So I'm thankful that these guys responded to the call, you know, because they could have just maybe, no, Dad, you're crazy. But, you know, this is what God has given me to want to do. And anyone, you know, listening, I know it's for musicians and worship leaders, but anyone listening, just don't be afraid to step out and follow what the Holy Spirit is guiding, because we would not be here today, each and every one of us, without the faith to step out and follow Him.
Yeah. I love that. And so tying into that theme, let's talk about your biggest dreams, the dreams that He puts in our hearts. Man, we cannot pursue those things without, you know, looking fear in the face and saying no, no more. So tell us about some of your guys' biggest dreams. What are you going for, looking forward to down the road?
Well, for us, we've never gone past the fact that we can even be a band. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the sheer fact that it's out of our minds. It's out of our, I never grew up thinking, man, one day I want to be able to lead worship, or one day I want to be able to be on stage. Like, never crossed my mind. Our family grew up trucking company, and so we turned wrenches. We did those type of things, you know. And so this is completely out of our imagination and out of our dreams. And even from the beginning, it's always been an unknown. It's always been an unknown. Like, 2 years in, and then we're like, no gigs coming up. What do we do? And my dad said, well, if nobody wants you to play, then you're not playing. Simple as that, you know. And my dad always says, hey, if there's no money to put fuel in the bus, then you're stuck. I mean, that's as simple as that. So you know when God's timing is, when you need to quit, is when God is saying enough is enough, you know. But it's been since 2004 till now. And we've seen our friends come and go who are in the music ministry. But God continues to put His favor and allow us to continue to do this because He has a certain mission. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I understand what you're trying to say in terms of dreams, but it's hard for me to dream because even this is beyond what I can imagine already. So I don't know, like, is there more? I don't know, you know, but I'm not even looking for more because there's already too much, you know what I'm saying? So this is like, for me, and maybe I'm not speaking for you, Jason, but for me, it's just, okay, if this is it, man, this is far more than I could ever imagine. So that's my view on it. So I don't know if you want to chime in a little bit, Jason.
Yeah, well, for me, this is it. I mean, I, you know, started playing drums at the age of 4 years old, and that's around the same time I gave my life to Christ. So it's always gone hand in hand, you know, literally playing drums. But, you know, so this was my dream. I mean, I started playing drums in church growing up when I was 11, did that until I was 19. And I love it. I love playing worship. I was serving the church whenever I can, when I'm back home and different things. Like, I just love to serve other people. I'm like, hey, if I'm going to be here, if I can offer whatever I can do, whether it's drumming or not, I just want to serve and help out. And so that was my heart, but I always knew it wasn't always going to be in the church, you know, and I wanted to go out and travel. And I didn't know if it was just my desire, but thing is, you know, I love Psalm 37, 4 and 5, that, hey, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, if you're looking to Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. So that was kind of like in check for me, like, hey, is this what the Lord wants? And my dream was, I just want to be in a ministry-minded band who loves the Lord, that we're out here not to be rock stars, but to be servants and we get to serve each other. We get to serve many different artists with what the Lord has entrusted us with, and, you know, have the tour bus in the production, and that's all just a blessing on top of that. And that's it. You know, so from here, it's just icing on the cake. Yeah, so really it's cool. A super blessing to be a part of.
Well, help us connect people with you. Give us some website, social media information, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely go to our website, breadofstone.com, and you'll find all the links there to all our social medias. If you guys are on Facebook, Instagram, it's just Bread of Stone. Bread of Stone, very simple. We're all over. So please do connect with us. We answer as much as we can ourselves in terms of messages on Facebook and Twitter. There's a lot of ministry that's happening, even through the social media. We've seen people who might not want to be as open in person and reveal these things, but in writing, they'll write to us and say, this is the stuff I'm struggling with. I need help, you know, and those are the opportunity that we seek out and through social media.
Very good. Well, Ben and Jason, thank you so much for sitting down with us. It's been a joy.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So good to have the guys from Bread of Stone with us today. Great. Like hearts, and we look forward to talking to them again in the near future. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with Phil Rice from Ember HQ in the Oklahoma City area, talking to him about what's going on there and how God has been moving in their community, building relationships and collaborating. Some real practical things that you can tune in and check out next week on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship broadcast.